This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Hurricane Milton. I'm Michelle Franzen. Florida residents and tourists who did not evacuate now being told to begin sheltering as Hurricane Milton barrels towards Florida's Gulf Coast. Landfall now less than 12 hours away, but the outer bands of the massive storm already moving in. ABC's Ginger Z is in Fort Myers tracking Milton.
It is still a Cat 4, but now the winds are down to 130 miles per hour. That's kind of on the lower end, which is something to say. It is still cruising at north-northeast at 16 miles per hour, but they added that little northerly component, so we'll be watching those little wobbles throughout the afternoon before it makes landfall.
Governor
tonight.
Ron DeSantis says along with storm surge and flooding, the winds will also knock out power across the state.
If you are in the path of this storm, you are most likely going to lose power. So just prepare for that.
President Biden says he's directed all federal resources to the region from food, water, and extra ambulances. This is ABC.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water systems nationwide will have to get rid of their lead pipes. That's after President Biden's announcement yesterday in Milwaukee. Stuart J. Waddles was there.
Biden used his trip to Milwaukee to issue a new deadline for cities to replace those lead water pipes.
I'm announcing a new rule written into law from the Environmental Protection Agency that requires water systems across America replace lead pipe service in every single one in America within 10 years.
Milwaukee has the fifth highest concentration of lead pipes in the country. With the president in Milwaukee, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Milwaukee Brewers will be on TV next year, but they won't be on Bally Sports Network. Major League Baseball says it will produce and distribute all non-nationally televised games for the Brewers. Bally's owner is in bankruptcy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Early detection of diseases can be life-saving, preventing serious illnesses before they develop. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
Having an annual exam with your primary care provider can keep you up to date on important health screenings. These screenings happen at certain ages, but some individuals are at an increased risk based on several factors.
Other things that can be important is their family history. So if your parents, your brother, your sister, aunts, uncles, or grandparents have certain medical conditions, that can put you at increased risk of disease as well.
That's Christy Wegner, MD and family medicine physician at Aspirus Health. She said they're having to screen for some diseases at younger ages.
Individuals have been getting colon cancer at younger and younger ages.
Dr. Wegner said understanding the risks and benefits of screenings can put patients at ease.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers defense reviewed. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming off a win over the 49ers in San Francisco. Defensive tackle Kenny Clark asked if the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, trusts players to rush the quarterback without giving up a big play.
He trusting us, trusting the front. He just cutting us loose. And, we were just expected to make plays against this offense, against this offensive line. You know, they bled us a little bit in the run game. Got to do better there. But the turnovers we had, how we rushed the passer, going against a really good quarterback.
College football, the Badgers play Rutgers Saturday. So how is sophomore Braden Locke progressing at quarterback this season? Offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
I think Braden Locke, who has done a good job of making decisions between the signal and the snap, he's just really, really, really high end from a mental standpoint. He's a junkie and he loves it. I think that's kind of where you have to be if you want to take this quarterback position to a different level.
That's Badgers coach Phil Longo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Super sunny today and quite comfortable as highs flirt with 70 degrees with calm southeast winds. A few clouds filter in here tonight as lows fall to the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, another day filled with a ton of sunshine and unseasonable warmth as we spike to highs in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a heads up about debt collection scams. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be here. Alexander Vindman in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin, how y'all doing today? It's officially hump day. Across most of Wisconsin, gorgeous today. I know I've been trying to enjoy the sunshine from inside, looking out my window. Ooh, that looks beautiful out there. I hope you all get a chance to actually get outside and enjoy some of this beautiful fall weather. I had promised myself I was not going to talk about the Brewers after their absolutely devastating loss in game three of the wild card. But I find myself forced to. Jesse Winker, who played an absolutely terrible season for the Brewers and then got traded and ended up with the Mets and has now had a really good season, is a huge, enormous jerk. And he's also a sore winner. Every time he got up at when he was at bat during the playoffs, the fans made an adjustment to his last name, Winker, substituted a different vowel for the A and chanted that out a bunch. And he's a sore winner for a couple of reasons. In game three, he ended up basically being the insurance run after the heartbreaking three-run homer that was smacked to put the Mets ahead by a run. And then Winker, Wanker, Winker came in and also scored a run. And the guy took his helmet off and, like, slammed it on the ground. It was so ridiculous. Like, that's enough to dislike the guy. He tends to be a jerk. He chats a bunch. He was jawing at Willy Adames when he was on base in game three. Now, keep in mind, he's on base in game three, and they're ahead a run, and it's the ninth inning. Like, just shut your trap and enjoy the fact that you're likely going to win the wild card and go on. But no, he was jawing at Willy Adames, and he was like, "Hey, why don't you do something about it?" Like, challenging Willie to a fight. Like, you are a huge, huge, huge jerk. And then yesterday, there's an article in the Journal Sentinel where Jesse Winker told a reporter, like, went on the record, was like, "I really, really hate Milwaukee."
What?
Yes. Like, you are a professional athlete. You don't need to hate Milwaukee. By the way, we paid your salary with the tickets that we bought that season, right? Your overblown, overpaid butt that produced very little for the Brewers. Like, just such a bad sportsman. I think that just, it tarnishes the game. Anyways, I had to complain about that. with that, I will probably turn the page on the baseball season. I know I'm not all that interested in what's going on now in the baseball playoffs. But Jess, and folks, Jess, one of my team that helps me out with the Maggie Dawn Show, always happy to have her. If you call in,
you got to go through me.
You got to go through Jess, part of the Maggie Dawn Show team. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got a great show planned for you all today. I am so excited. We've got Attorney General Eric Holder that's going to join me after this first segment of the show. Again, one of the perks of the job, you sometimes get to talk to your personal and professional heroes. General Holder, certainly one of those. At 2:30, because it is Wednesday, it is Sounds Like Change with Emily's List on the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got Sarah Spain, their Director of Strategic Communications, joining us, talking about how the 1 million young women that live in Wisconsin will be the difference maker on November 5th. If you know a young woman, if you are a young woman, you're not going to want to miss this with Sarah Spain of Emily's List at 2:30. Top of the hour, of course, it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, except this time, definitely not millionaires. I have two ladies that are nuns on the bus. How cool is this? Two sisters that fight for social and economic justice. Nuns on the Bus are in a nationwide bus tour. They stopped in Milwaukee yesterday. We're going to talk to two of those very nuns that are on the bus. And at 3:30, we've got Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He was at Joe Biden's appearance yesterday. He just announced $4 million of county dollar investment in affordable housing. This is something that matters not just in Milwaukee County, but statewide. We're going to be joined by the county executive. But I just wanted to share this with you, Jess, and everybody out there. I may not be talking about baseball, but one of the things that I love about the fall, even when the Brewers are out of the playoffs, is the fact that I've got this great dual citizenship, if you will. And by that, I mean, I was lucky enough to go to Marquette University on a scholarship for both my undergrad and my graduate degree in economics. And then I went to Madison for law school. So dual citizenship, I get to be like a Marquette basketball fan when MU plays UW in hoops. I wear both blue and gold and red and white. I look very uncoordinated because it's great.
I love it.
And as an undergrad, I didn't have the wonderful ritual at American universities of football in the fall, but I got to enjoy it as a law student at Madison. So I always get a kick out of this time of year because the Bucks are starting soon. You got all the college football. I love college hoops. I always look forward to that. Certainly excited to see what Marquette can do this year. But I can deal with the Brewers' loss because I've got other sporting ventures that I can look to and a lot of fan boxes that I get to check. But I would be remiss, of course, if I didn't talk a little bit about the fact that the Jets just fired their head coach as well. Got to talk a little NFL football. If you're not aware of what just went down, of course, everybody knows that Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets, came out first game last season, blew his ACL. He's now back. The Jets are 2-3, not doing very well. And they basically shocked the NFL when they fired their head coach. Now, here's what's actually going on here. Like, let me add it to the list of reasons I hate Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, this is the Haterade Festivus for me. On. I start with Jesse Winker Wanker, and I go to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers basically is calling the shots at the Jets, clearly. He's buddy-buddies with the offensive coordinator, who really should be the one that's getting fired because their offense isn't producing. But he's Aaron Rodgers' BFF. Aaron Rodgers basically plucked him from the Packers, took him to the Jets so they can their head coach. It's just yet another reason to hate Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what is wrong with this guy? He's a low accountability kind of guy. It's everybody's fault except Aaron Rodgers.
I think low accountability would actually be a vast improvement.
Yeah, because it implies some accountability.
Right.
Anyways, I will continue to talk a little sports with y'all because we all need a break from the politics of the day. But I would be remiss if I did not share with you Mitt Romney yesterday, boy, I think it was yesterday or the day before, absolutely tore into Donald Trump and by extension, Eric Hovde and every other GOP MAGA cult lackey that continues to lie and potentially cost people's lives in the wake of Hurricane Helene and now the onslaught, the incoming terror that is Milton. Let's take a listen to what Mitt Romney had to say yesterday about Donald Trump's lies.
President Trump told us that the people in Springfield are eating dogs and cats, all right? I mean, you know, he likewise said that FEMA money, our emergency money, instead of helping the people that have been hit by the hurricane, is being used to help illegals. I mean, he just makes it up. And so he is able to spew enough disinformation that the Chinese must be smiling. And now Kamala Harris also says things that are inaccurate. I mean, her pitch is that he's going to put in place Project 25. And he keeps saying, no, I'm not doing Project 25. And she keeps saying, yes, you are, and runs ads about Project 25. Well, I don't know who you believe in that regard, but I surely think that President Trump, when it comes to a holiday from the truth, he's taken the longest vacation.
So let me translate in Mitt Romney speak, right? He basically just said, I'm going to be voting for Kamala Harris. Like, that's mm-hmm. what that all sort of boils down to without him actually saying it. One of the things I talked to the attorney general about in our next segment is Project 2025. So you're not going to want to miss that. But I also wanted to address a question from yesterday. Kurt from Madison was very patient. Folks, at the Maggie Dawn Show, I get lots of help from lots of different producers. Sometimes I'm getting produced out of Madison, sometimes the AUK. So patience with us if we don't get your calls in. But Kurt from Madison wanted to know, hey, isn't Eric Hovde and isn't it Donald Trump when they lie about FEMA running out of money and they say there's money getting diverted? Why isn't that like yelling fire in a crowded theater? Why aren't they potentially liable civilly for that? Especially because it's acting real harm on Republicans and Democrats and independents alike in these regions where this misinformation has taken hold. Here's the trick, Kurt. It may seem like it's similar to yelling fire in a crowded theater, but it's not. Political speech is basically sacrosanct in the United States. And unlike false advertising, if you will, where there's a product and if the product doesn't do what you say it does in an ad, that can be grounds for a false advertising civil suit. And those happen frequently, most often brought amongst competitors in a particular industry. But when you engage in political speech, there just isn't a legal theory to proceed on. So even if you're speaking lies, you're saying things that aren't true. If it's political speech, it is sacrosanct. In other words, the First Amendment protects lies, especially when you're engaging in campaign political speech. But of course, that does not make it any less morally repugnant and a clear indicator of the unfitness of Eric Hovde and Donald Trump to be an elected official in this country. You don't have to take my word for it. Just listen to Mitt Romney. Folks, when we come back, we're going to listen to that interview with Attorney General Eric Holder. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Worldwide Schoolhouse Behind is the birthplace of the Republican Party. Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand, and really ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm very excited to bring my next guest to the show. We've got former Attorney General Eric Holder. He served as the nation's chief law enforcement officer for 6 years, from 2009 to 2015 in the Obama administration. Since that time, he has dedicated his professional life, and I think probably a whole ton of his personal time as well, to protecting the rights of every American citizen to their franchise, to the vote, to fighting partisan gerrymandering that effectively robs us of this basic promise of one person and one vote. Welcome, Attorney General Holder. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, Maggie. It's great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
As am I, sir. Let me start with this. I ended my career as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. When I took that role, I swore an oath to uphold our state and federal constitutions. And as part of that, it simply means that I do the job objectively and fairly, that I don't let that office be used for personal partisan purposes or that certain outcomes would be predetermined. I want to start there, sir. How important is the independence, the objectivity of the DOJ to a regular American?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, the rule of law is really the foundation for America. But in addition to that, at the Justice Department, we also have to have people at the state and local level as well who are committed to the rule of law, who will administer the law in a fair way, who will try to ensure at a most basic level that people have the ability to express themselves politically by being able to vote and not deal with voter suppression tactics, not deal with racial and partisan gerrymandering, not deal with unfair voter purges. There's a whole range of things that we have to deal with now in 21st century America, and it's vitally important that we have a Justice Department, a federal Justice Department, that is focused on those issues. But as well, we always have to remember, at the state and local level as well, we need to have fair-minded people.
Yes, so important, sir. This brings me to, of course, Project 2025, which, you know, there's many elements of Project 2025, but of course, one of them is this idea that the Department of Justice should be an arm of the White House, that it's okay to use the Department of Justice to try to accomplish political ends. When we look both at what Project 2025 promises in terms of decimating the independence of the Department of Justice, but also bringing the apparatus of the federal government not to do the job as good civil servant experts do objectively and fairly, but to basically make every single department within the federal government subject to the political whims of whomever occupies the Oval Office. Sir, again, to a regular Wisconsinite, a regular American, what sort of threat, based on your experience in federal government, does Project 2025 pose to everyday life here in the United States?
Well, I don't think people can underestimate the negative impact of Project 2025. It would do away with, essentially do away with the federal civil service as we know it, and essentially make people who are in those positions, in all kinds of positions, and especially in law enforcement positions, political appointees who would be beholden to a Trump administration, to a President Trump. And when you compound that with this Supreme Court decision, the immunity decision, that gives him, or gives any president, but would give President Trump, if he were elected, the ability to direct the Justice Department to do a whole variety of things without any kind of criminal liability, you would really unleash Donald Trump, and it would have a negative impact on the average American in a whole range of ways, from health care, from criminal law enforcement, from voter protection, from the ability to for a woman to decide what she wants to do with her own body. All of these things would be impacted by a politicized civil service, and especially by a politicized United States Department of Justice. If for no other reason, people need to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz just to ensure that Project 2025 does not become the law of the land.
Folks, that's former Attorney General Eric Holder. I want to ask you a follow-up question about that, because I helped Milwaukee County both organize and then defend our recount in 2020 that was requested by the Trump campaign. And it was, in fact, a Republican, a Trump-appointed judge in the federal courts that rejected all of the claims made by the Trump campaign after the 2020 election. In other words, rejected the big lie. Can voters rely on the federal courts as currently constituted to protect their vote, to respect the integrity of our elections, and to defend that?
Yeah, I think that we generally can. I fear that in a second Trump administration, however, you would have placed on the federal courts ideologues as opposed to good lawyers. But I think as presently constituted, Americans can have faith in our system, but also have faith in the Trump, in the Walz, Harris effort to make sure that their votes, in fact, are protected. We have, you know, tons of lawyers all around the country prepared to go into court to deal with whatever Republicans throw at us in terms of these false claims of, you know, ballot manipulation and rigging of the ballots, all that kind of stuff, and be as successful in 2024 as we were in 2020 when we had to win 60 cases in a variety of courts, federal courts, as well as state courts. So I still think that we can rely on the courts, and people should not be, you know, intimidated. People should not be negatively impacted by the prospect of what the Republicans are going to try to do, what the courts might do. The first and foremost thing that we as American citizens have to do is to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and making sure that we have a plan to vote, and then making sure that we actually cast our ballots by November the 5th.
Folks, that's former Attorney General Eric Holder. You can find out more about your vote, where to register if you're registered, the ward that you will vote in, at myvote.wi.gov. We've got just a little bit under a minute left. Former Attorney General Holder, speaking to Wisconsin voters out there, what is your message, including your message to Republicans, independents, and swing voters as they consider who to cast their ballot for?
Well, I would hope that people in Wisconsin will vote for people who stand for democracy. We have really kind of unraveled a gerrymander that was put in place by Republicans in Wisconsin in 2011. It took almost over a decade to get it done. And this is the first time in almost 13, 14 years where Wisconsinites will have the ability to cast ballots for in a fair way. So I want people to vote, focus on, you know, the Harris and Walz ticket, but make sure that you're also voting up and down the ballot for state assembly and for state senate, for people who will stand for democracy.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General Eric Holder, and thank you for your work on behalf of Wisconsin voters. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Like here at home, Ukraine is in their harvest season, except unlike here, Farmers are worried about drone strikes destroying their crops. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. We're visiting with a Ukrainian dairy farmer in just a moment.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
Olga Polozova has a dairy farm in central Ukraine. She says across the country, farmers worry about drone attacks, among other tragedies that the ongoing war with Russia brings their way.
I have only 400 cows for milking, means like 1,000 altogether. But we are always afraid for the harvest because we have drones, they come and they can burn your harvest in one night. Actually, the same problems like in the whole Ukraine, which I said that many in our workers, employers, they are on the war and someone unfortunately will not come back. So it's like that.
Olga Polozova says even amidst war, the farm work must go on. The harvest is happening right now in Ukraine. Olga says her farm just finished soybeans and now they're working on corn and sunflowers. You can find the full conversation at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
For over 120 years, 4-H has empowered millions of youth to build their futures. Now through October 12th, more than 6 million young people nationwide are celebrating National 4-H Week. In Wisconsin, more than 26,000 youth are members of 4-H. You can get connected with a club near you by visiting Wisconsin 4-H online. In other news, Northern Soy Marketing is bringing international stakeholders to farms in the upper Midwest. For the past few days, a delegation from Indonesia toured farms in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Beaver Dam soybean grower Nancy Cavazanjan is among the group, and she says these one-on-one tours allow buyers to see where soybeans originate and the care that farmers put into them. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Super sunny today and quite comfortable as highs flirt with 70 degrees with calm southeast winds. A few clouds filter in here tonight as lows fall to the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, another day filled with a ton of sunshine and unseasonable warmth as we spike to highs in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former Milwaukee police officer and founder of the Cops and Writers website, Patrick O'Donnell, and WGBW producer and social media expert, Amanda Nimmer, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Say that we ain't nothing, but you know the truth, and guess I.
ain't nothing. We're a million strong young women here in the state of Wisconsin, and young women may make the difference this November. Folks, it is 2:30. It is Wednesday, and that means it sounds like change. The Maggie Dawn Show, always happy to welcome Emily's List joining me again every Wednesday at 2:30 to talk about change in this country. My special guest this episode is Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. She also worked as a fellow for Hillary for America. She worked on Ted Strickland's Senate campaign and at the Tennessee Democratic Party. She is a proud Buckeye, having graduated from Ohio State, where she studied business and public affairs. Welcome back, Sarah. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
So I've heard that one in five voters, so full 20% of voters in battleground states, are young women. And by that metric, if we know the demography of Wisconsin, it means there's a million young women in Wisconsin that are eligible to vote. How important is the young women bloc this November?
It is essential this November, I would say. I think I am convinced that young women will decide and win this election up and down the ballot, and it's driven by abortion rights. So I think communicating with young women this election is essential for all candidates, making sure that these young women voters, this voting bloc, knows exactly where you stand, integral as we head into this election, because I do think that this voting bloc will be the difference maker in November.
It's a pretty exciting premise. Is there something standing in the way? Are there particular outreach efforts to young women voters in states like Wisconsin and Georgia and Nevada and Pennsylvania? How is the Harris campaign, or Emily's List for that matter, trying to reach this particular group of voters?
Yeah, Emily's List has a ton of work being done, millions of dollars in ads in women under 45, making sure that we're targeting this group, making sure they know exactly where Kamala Harris and candidates down ballot stand on reproductive rights in this moment. So we are reaching out. We are making sure these young voters know. But I mean, I would say we've seen a lot of success just between April 2024 and now. There's a 56-point swing in motivation for women under 45 to vote. So, I mean, that is unheard of at this point.
I'm sorry, did you say 56 points? In other words, a 56 percentage point increase in voter engagement for young women voters?
Yep, motivation to vote, which is truly unheard of. I mean, what would be great is 5%, 6% at this point. And we're seeing 56%. I mean, that is incredible. And that's for women under 45. And truly, it's because we're in this election cycle where it's the first election, presidential election, where Roe v. Wade was overturned, and we're seeing the impacts. And so these presidents are running on the possibility of protecting our rights versus taking it away.
Yeah, It's such a historic moment, not just because of the stakes of the election in terms of democracy and protecting the rule of law and the norms that we have used to govern our country for nearly 250 years, but specifically on this concept of reproductive freedom. I had never spent a minute, a second of my life as an American citizen where that right was not enshrined. Okay, 2 years, but it was in 1979 for my entire cognizant life. And so I think, again, the clarion call, the distillation of the freedoms that are truly at issue, not just for reproductive rights, but the fact that that serves as a canary in the coal mine, as it were, for both basic privacy and civil rights for every group of Americans, that these indeed hang in the balance. It's not hyperbolic.
No.
When we look at the election and we step back and we think about the impact that that young women voters, again, that being defined as women voters under the age of 45, when we step back and look at it, it seems to me that many Republican candidates have begun to flood the zone with what I call sort of the walk back of their opposition to reproductive freedoms. And you're seeing this sort of mealy-mouthed, well, it's left up to the states and states decide, which is itself a falsehood. There's been no vote in the state of Texas. There's been no vote in the state of Georgia. There's been no vote in the state of Wisconsin. So if young women, especially young women who may have conservative families, Republican families, are looking at this, their choices this November, and they're hearing all of this, well, we really actually want to preserve access to IVF. No, we don't really want a national abortion ban. We just think states should decide. How does Emily's List suggest voters investigate that sort of whitewashing, if you will, of what the Republican Party has stood steadfastly for the last 30 years, which is a national abortion ban?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things I want to say to that. I think first, records. Like, the records show where Republicans versus Democrats stand on this issue. And so when we look back at records, say for Eric Hovde, and we look back for J.D. Vance, and we look back for Trump, we see that they are anti-abortion. They've been clear in their records. They've been clear on the record. And so now what we know is that they can read a poll. They know that women are going to decide this election on abortion. And so they're walking back and lying to voters, kind of this like thinly veiled attempt to lie to voters. And so I would say, first, try to look back at their records. I also want to kind of get into and dig into what leave it up to the states means when Trump says something like that. And I think recently, just this week, the Supreme Court decided on a case. It was the Texas case. They decided not to dig into that. And so Texas hospitals are not forced to use EMTALA emergency care and provide emergency abortions in cases where women need it. We also saw in Georgia, the Supreme Court walked back the decision to put pause the 6-week abortion ban. And so that went back into play as well. And so when Trump and Republicans are saying they want to leave it up to the states, that's what they mean. They don't mean we want to leave it up to the states to decide. They mean we want the states to make the abortion bans. And so it's a punt. It's nothing more than a punt. And so I would say, as you're hearing that, really think about what we've seen and what the states have been up to and what they're doing related to abortion.
Well, and there's this baseline reality. They don't mean let the states decide and conclude that reproductive freedom is a basic civil right. As you put it, Sarah, they mean leave it up to the states, and so the states can enact these draconian, sort of ridiculous from a biological standpoint, abortion bans, like 6 weeks. Women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. That's just stupid. and the further point about that I hear you making as well, Sarah, is if you look at the cases coming out of both Texas and Georgia, those bans were challenged. You had trial courts looking very suspiciously at those bans because those bans kick in so early, right? The Texas case looking at the tension between the emergency medical treatment, basically EMTALA's guarantee that if someone comes to a hospital and the hospital receives a single dollar of federal funding, that they have to provide that life-saving emergency medical care. And in the case of women that we've seen in states like Georgia dying because they can't get that emergency medical care, there's a tension between the state law and this federal requirement for emergency life-saving medical care. The extension here is that they're also relying on these federal courts, especially in the Fifth Circuit and the Supreme Court, that are chocked full of ultra-conservative right-wing extremists to then strike down these kinds of protections. In other words, to not step in to preserve reproductive freedoms, right? What was the status quo ante? But in order to enable these bans to go into effect and continue to deprive women of this fundamental right to control your body. And so it's extremely disingenuous, right? Like the very statement itself and the fact that they're basically relying on these stacked courts, either a state court or the federal courts in particular, especially in places like Texas and the Fifth Circuit, to defend these draconian bans. And again, Texas and Georgia, there hasn't been a vote about reproductive freedom. It's all a bunch of hooey. What is it in particular about Kamala Harris, aside from the fact that she is a woman, right, that makes her such a compelling candidate for young women?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things. I think, one, she has done this work throughout her career. And so this is work she cares about, and it shows when she speaks about it. The day that the Dobbs decision was leaked, she was at an Emily's List event and came out and did the famous quote, "How dare they take away our rights?" This is something she's been fighting for her full career. And I think that's very clear in the way she speaks about it. Two, I think she does a really incredible job of elevating spokespeople on the impacts of what this looks like and storytellers. We've seen that with Kate Cox out of Texas, who wasn't able to get abortion care in her state and had to travel out of state and had complications because of it. And so Kate Cox is someone who has consistently been elevated by the campaign. There are other storytellers as well out of Kentucky, and the list goes on and on. She's centered those folks in her campaign to make sure that women voters and young voters specifically know the impacts of this. And then third, and I think we can continue talking about this, but she has stepped into spaces where she is reaching voters, not just Democratic voters, but young women across the board. I think we saw that on Call Her Daddy. We saw that on The View this week, two very, very big opportunities to reach voters across the board on how she will fight for women, not just Democratic women. So I think those are my top three of the reasons she's really reached women voters and has been such a compelling candidate.
Yeah, her record on reproductive freedom is just unassailable, right? And even when we're talking about people who are candidates like Eric Hovde, yes, he doesn't have a voting record because he's lost every election he's tried to get ahead in. But you can go back and you can find his prior statements and his position on this issue. And it is unequivocally for pro-national abortion ban. One of the things that I think is so fascinating about this moment is the fact that this issue resonates with women across the political spectrum, and that that is truly critical. Do you anticipate this having a pulling potentially women that are otherwise maybe more inclined to vote for Republicans, potentially pulling them to the left in down ballot races as well?
I do. And I think that is the work of organizations like Emily's List, organizations that are making sure to communicate with voters. Because what we saw with a lot of ballot initiatives since the Roe decision, since Roe was overturned, is that women across the board support abortion access. And it's not just women. The majority of voters support abortion access. And so I think for us, it's really essential to communicate that abortion is on the ballot in many different ways. It can be on the ballot for ballot initiatives, but it's also on the ballot for candidates and candidates up and down the ballot who will protect this right. So we need to stack our state legislatures with pro-choice candidates. We need to make sure we have the House. We need to make sure we have the Senate. And we need to make sure that we have a Democratic pro-choice president. And so communicating that with voters so they know.
Folks, that is Sarah Spain, the Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List, my special guest for this episode of Sounds Like Change here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. We'll dig in more after these brief messages. What is at stake here in Wisconsin if extremists like Eric Hovde win this November? We'll talk about it with Sarah when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s.
George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin hits the road to take on the Scarlet Knights. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 2:30 block on a Wednesday, and that means it sounds like change with Emily's List here on the Maggie Dawn Show. My special guest this episode is Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. We're talking about what's at stake and the importance of young women voters this November. And I think about a place like the state of Wisconsin, where we saw after the Dobbs decision, women's health care sort of thrown into chaos until two, I would call them very brave, Wisconsin judges looked very carefully at our 1859 law, at our 1859 statute, and said, this is actually a statute that bars infanticide, the intentional harming of a woman by another that results in the death of a fetus. That is a different prohibition entirely. Of course, the idea that a law from 1859 enacted before women had the right to vote and before the civil rights movement could strip rights away from half of the population is anathema and sort of gross in its conception. But what are the stakes for Wisconsinites and especially young women in the state of Wisconsin if somebody like Eric Hovde is elected to the Senate, if Donald Trump is given another shot at stacking the federal courts with ultra-conservative, extremist, Christian nationalists, right-wingers?
The reality is a vote for Eric Hovde, a vote for Donald Trump, is a vote for a national abortion ban. We also have to really pay attention to the anti-abortion playbook, which is chipping away at abortion state by state, law by law, with the goal of decimating access across the country. I think we know that if we elect Donald Trump, no state is safe with abortion care. I like to remind folks in California, you know, who think that maybe it's less of an impact, no state is safe when a national abortion ban is a potential if we see Donald Trump in office. And so making sure that we're communicating that across the country, a national abortion ban is a possibility. We need to keep Republicans who have made clear that they support this out of office.
It's also why the congressional races here in Wisconsin for the 1st, the 3rd, and the 8th congressional districts, where you have pro-choice Democrats running in the form of Peter Barca, Ms. Cook running against Van Orton, who's a wingnut, and of course, Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN herself, running against Tony Weed. Those elections are important, too. You know, there are some prognosticators that have said it is not out of the realm of possibility that Donald Trump could not only win the White House, but Republicans seize control of both the House and Senate. And if anybody out there is listening and thinks that a national abortion ban would not result from that election outcome, you are fooling yourselves. And the thing, even when I'm talking to very conservative friends of mine who have a religious and moral objection to abortion, what I say to them is, this is not just about reproductive freedom. It's about fundamentally respect for the humanity, the full participatory humanity of women in every element of our society. And you need only look at what people like J.D. Vance have to say about women and the fact that they're not listening to women to know that that position is not just about abortion. It is about denying women their full human dignity to participate in every facet, every bit of American culture on equal footing with men. It is a denial of the respect and, frankly, love that if you are a true Christian is necessary towards every single person without reserve. That is fundamentally what I try to say to people who may have those religious or moral objections. It's not just about that. It's indicative of their approach to people who aren't sort of abiding by the Christian nationalist playbook that women belong in bedrooms and kitchens, and that's about it. Sarah, what can young women in Wisconsin do to make a difference in these last 27 days before the election?
Yes, we have 27 days. It's time to fight. I think we can... millions of things to do, but I think really the focus now, knocking on doors, like making sure you're getting out, you're talking to your neighbors, you're talking to voters, making sure they have a plan to vote, a plan to get out there, making sure you're getting the stakes of this election in front of voters. There are so many opportunities in Wisconsin, as you listed, up and down ballot to really get out there, talk to voters, GOTV. I also think make a plan for yourself to vote. Yes. The stakes of this election are very high, and look up exactly what you need to vote and make sure you have a plan so that you can get out there and vote up and down ballot for folks that are going to protect your reproductive rights.
You can find out information about your registration status, how to register, where to vote, all that good stuff at myvote.wi.gov. Emily's list can be found at www.emilieslist.org, on Twitter at Emily's List, on the gram at Emily's /list. I'll end with this. There's one group of people that's always had complete and total reproductive freedom, and that's rich women. That is fundamentally incompatible with a secular democracy if we're going to impose the religious beliefs of some on half of the population, but, you know, not rich ladies. They've always gotten the abortions that they want. Thanks so much, Sarah Spain. Folks, when we come back after these brief messages, it's time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. And I've got nuns on the bus, Sister Alice Gerdman and Sister Quincy Howard joining me for this very special episode. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Todd Albaugh. Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we welcome state archaeologist Amy Rosebro to the program as she explains history being brought up from the lakes in Madison. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.